Good morning and welcome to church. Hope you're excited and came expecting God is going to do great and awesome things in service this morning. Amen. It's wonderful to be here. It's hard to believe it's December already, but amen it is. And we are so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're a guest visiting with us this morning, it's your first time, we have a small connection card out in our welcome center. If you'd fill that out and turn it in, we have a small gift of appreciation. And if you're watching online, there's a link that you can click. And please just fill that out. A few points of information. We just want to be able to connect with you, get to know you, reach out to you. Also, a few ways that you can give this morning. If you're here in person, we have a little box at the welcome center. You can drop your offering in there. Or you can also mail it in to the church. 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704. You can give online at cgcmadison.org, or you can text to give, and it's up there. And please just put a note in the text of what you want that offering to go for. We're challenging everyone for our Christmas challenge to brighten somebody's day. December 13th through the 22nd, we want to challenge someone to try and make either some Christmas cards, some door hangers, some ornaments, or some baked goods, and we're just doing porch deliveries. We're not going in, but we're just dropping them on the porch. If you want to do some caroling, please contact Sister Lois Grant. We can arrange ways to go and carol as well. Also, a few service changes for Wednesday, December 23rd. We'll be having no service. And also Wednesday, December 30th, there will be no service. But we'll be having our Christmas Eve service on Thursday, December 4th at 5 p.m. So please make sure you're able to be there. How many know that God is able and prayer works? Before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, just two quick testimonies I wanted to share with you this morning. We had a coworker that earlier on this year, she was having some gallbladder issues, and she went into the hospital. They were going to do some surgery and move that. They accidentally punctured something in her body. I don't know exactly what, but in the course of puncturing that, she got sepsis and almost died. But the good news is she didn't die because God had a plan. And she was able to go home. They postponed the surgery, but things got critical. And over the last weekend, she was rushed to Mayo Clinic to do an emergency, more or less experimental procedure to see if they could try and spare her life. Our coworker called us on Monday, and we asked if we could begin to pray for her mother, Sandy. And through the power of prayer, on Wednesday, we got a phone call that not only was her mother doing better, and she was now expected to live, and they were going to release her from the hospital on Saturday past. So God is able to work through prayer. Even if you're not there with the person, just the power of prayer. Find out the needs of your coworkers, your family, your friends. Reach out through prayer. God is trying like never before to reach this world in the hour that we live in. And just on Thanksgiving past, I was happy to celebrate 3 years since my first brain surgery. They didn't give me that long to live, but through the power of God, on the Friday following Thanksgiving, I celebrated 3 years from my first three brain surgeries because God is able. And we're thankful for a healer. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning for this service, for any needs that we may have. But let's go to prayer expecting, because God is more than able to meet every single need that we have. Dear Heavenly Father, have your way in the service, God. God, we know that you already have a purpose, God. We know that you already have a plan. But God, in all that we do, Jesus, we worship you. We love you, God. You're an awesome God. You're a holy God. There's nobody like you, Jesus. God, have your way in this service. Be with the spirits as they preach. God, be with every need in this house this morning. God, we thank you for all that you're doing and about to do. God, thank you that we can be a light and witness. God, thank you for all that you have planned, God, in this season. God, let us glorify you in all that we do. Have your way. And thank you, God, for your mighty power, for the sacrifice you gave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feels good to say that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Yes. Who angels we have heard on high. Hallelujah. Sweetly singing o'er the place. And the mountains. Oh,
Yeah. earthly treasures you will pay. But I found my hope in you.
You are the one.
You are the one I want. You are the one I need.
Yeah.
This broken heart ain't all it can take everything.
Praise the Lord, church. There is such a sweet, sweet presence. You know what's awesome about this morning is not just feeling the presence of God, but being able to feel it in the presence of, just look around you. It is so great to see all of you. And if you're a guest of ours, whether you're online this morning or you're here in person, normally we would take a few minutes out of our service and greet all of our guests, but because of a few life-changing situations that have happened with this COVID, it's funny how people respond, so many different people. We were at Menards last night, my wife and I, and I got all upset because I'm walking down an aisle. Their aisles have to be 10 foot wide, some of them. A gentleman, evidently I encroached in his space a little bit too close. Because him and his daughter, he instructed her, they stuck their heads in the shelf. I felt like just standing there to see how long they would sit there with their head in the shelf. Looking, we were in the food aisle. I don't know, it was kind of a joke. I kind of got a little bit of a kick out of it. But it's just funny how people respond. You have no idea when you go up to greet someone nowadays behind that mask, if it's going to be the Lone Ranger or what you're going to end up with there. But it's so good to see all of you here today. And it's just, thank you so much, our worship team, Sister Abby, and just such a sweet presence. And thank you for just some of you just being free with your worship. You know, just we're in church. If you feel like walking around and moving and jumping and bouncing, just walk and move and jump and bounce. So it is so great to have Brother and Sister Spears with us. And last time Brother Steve Spears was here, he came down with a bad infection, ended up in the hospital, and we didn't know if he was going to make it. They're going to share some of this testimony with us this morning, I'm sure. But Sister Terry, it is good to see you again. I'm glad you could bring Steve. He could earn his half of the paycheck anyway. So just let you know, you need to pray for Brother Steve on Tuesday because the Cowboys are playing. We don't want him to get an elevated blood pressure or anything. And it's an ongoing joke. We have to joke about that. But it's so good to see you. We love you too. We appreciate you. And just come take your liberty this morning. God bless.
I just want to throw that mask. Does anybody understand that feeling? Well, I hope that you don't put your head under the pews this morning instead of in shelves to keep from contaminating each other. But it is great to be back in Madison. I truly, 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 one of our favorite spots in the world is to come here. I love the feeling that I get when I walk in this building. You have something special, and God is with you, even in the midst of COVID. God is with you. As is my custom, before you're seated, I'd like for you to repeat after me what my longtime mentor, T.W. Barnes, always had me say before I step to the pulpit. I now, in Jesus' name, receive the words you are sending in my heart. Not my head. My heart is fertile ground where the Holy Ghost lives, and the seed will germinate. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, and you may be seated. First, if I can, I want to share something with you that I just finished work on during quarantine. I am probably the world's worst self-promoter. It's just not my thing. But what God shared with me during quarantine time this year has been amazing. And I took the time and I wrote it in a new book that's just been released. It's called Survival Strategies. Does anybody need to know how to survive these days? In our whole new world. It's a timely word for everyone, and I really would urge everyone to get this book, not because I wrote it, but because I really feel like that God gave me some strategic tips. And when you hear the few words that we have to say today, you may understand why you need to read it. I have them here on a table. You can purchase some if you're online or you don't have a way to purchase today. You can go to Amazon, just type my name in or the book, and it will be there. Someone will be at the book table when it's over. Credit cards, cash, small children, dogs. I take all things. Especially babies. I'll be glad to take a baby in exchange for a book. Well, if you've been around a while, which I have been, or you have family who uses old phrases, which we're from the South, and we have a lot of old phrases that we use that don't make a lot of sense to most people. But you may have heard this one. Things can change on a dime. Or things can turn around on a dime. Did anybody give you a dime when you came in today? Awesome. The phrase means that things can turn around very quickly. Because a dime is the smallest of the U.S. coins, anything that can turn around on a dime can turn quickly. Look at the one you were given. That's a tiny little thing. By the way, public service announcement, I heard they're going to do away with our pennies. They say it takes like 4 cents to make one penny. Go figure, our government. But the dime is the smallest. And some say that this expression goes back to high-performance cars or boats, and their ability to turn around on the smallest of coins implies that you can turn around very quickly in a very small space and time. You may have heard someone say, "Oh, I just love this little car. It can turn around on a dime." My mother says that frequently. Or we can all understand this. Public figures have no loyalty to their causes. They can turn on a dime if they get more support. What our sermon title means today is life can change course very quickly. And depending on the circumstances, it can either be good or bad. But either way, it means it's rapid. Think about how rapidly our technology is increasing. Every 18 months, computer processing speed is doubling. The number of transistors which fit on a microprocessor reached over 10 billion in 2017. That was 3 years ago. In the 70s, it was under 10,000, not 10 billion. As of 2020, The number of transistors which can fit on a microprocessor is 39.5 billion. That's a 400% growth in 3 years. Things change quickly. Every second, 127 new devices are connected to the internet. Every second. Things are changing on a dime. Look at our world. How fast did a pandemic shut down not just our nation, but our entire world? The word nobody wants to hear, but it seems it's in every conversation, no matter how hard you try, is coronavirus or COVID. It has spawned an entire new verbiage that we now speak. It's called the new normal. I'm already tired of that one. It's self-isolating. Who ever heard of self-isolating? Pandemic, quarantine, lockdown, key workers. This is the one that got me. Co-video parties. It's online parties that you can have on Zoom or Skype. The Rona. We now have what is called Blurs Day. That's B-L-U-R-S-D-A-Y. Blurs Day. It's a new day of the week. Because it's an unspecified day because of lockdown disorienting affecting our times. I'm just in Blurs Day. From December 31, 2019, until April the 8th, it was literally 100 days. It went from one case of COVID to 1.5 million cases of COVID in 100 days. Things can change on a dime. Now we're over 66 million cases. Things are changing on a dime. Our world is literally, not just figuratively, changing so rapidly, and it's changing on a dime. So as we continue the service, and you hold your little dime in your hand, remember that things really do change rapidly.
Amen. Hallelujah, everybody. God bless you. Things change on a dime. We've established reasons for the sermon title. It's the world which we live. Things are so uncertain. Pastor and I were talking in the office before service that life would be so much easier right now if we just had some sure direction. And this house is the only place that offers sure direction. This is it. Amen. Let's bring this to a biblical example. This isn't a new concept or a new phrase. Things can change quickly. If you're a student of the Bible, you will know some stories that are in Mark chapter 6. If not, let me summarize a little bit of it for you and bring you up to speed with what we're talking about today. Mark 6 describes Jesus' return to his hometown. He continues his preaching, his ministry, his healing, his performing miracles, the things that he does. And he continues to send the disciples away to preach their own sermons in their own towns and across the country. Chapter also covers the beheading of John the Baptist. Wow. The feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. Talk about a happening fast. The chapter has a lot going on in it. The good, the bad, the ugly. In 56 short verses, it tells the whole story. As a matter of fact, bring it down a little closer, 1,300 words tells a lot of ground to be covered or changed on a dime. I want us to focus on the portion of verse 32. We don't need to read it all for time's sake, but this is the story of Jesus feeding the, how many? 5,000. Turn towards someone, tell them 5,000. I almost told you to shake someone's hand, but we won't do that. 5,000, Jesus has been spending time with his friends and disciples, and they headed to, the Bible says, a desert place to rest for a while. Matter of fact, they were so busy that they didn't even take time for lunch. The Bible says that. That's not going to happen here today. Yeah, we are not missing lunch. That would be out of the Lord's will. Amen. They were busy doing their calling. Must have been a different brand of Pentecost because, honey, we're going to eat. That's just all there is to it. You'll have to bring in a different evangelist to talk about other things. They took a boat, they thought, secretly to this desert place to rest and recoup from the daily grind. But people saw them, and the Bible says they ran afoot out of all the cities and came together unto him. Jesus was moved with compassion and forgot about how hungry he was and began to teach again all day. We know the rest of the story. The disciples recognized they'd been there all day and were hungry, and there was no McDonald's. There was no Domino's. There was no Pizza Hut. There was no cheese curds. Far as I know. And so they just continued working. Well, the rest of the story, the disciples recognized that they had been there all day and were hungry, and something had to be done. And a great famous miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding 5,000. Boy, I needed that miracle at Thanksgiving dinner. Goodness. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. Astounding. How could he do it? Oh, all I know is that as he kept breaking off a chunk of fish to give to someone, went back, took it with his hand to get another chunk to another someone and another to another someone, and the piece he had in his hand just never changed. Wouldn't that have been something to see? What a high point of ministry. Can you imagine the disciples' conversations while they collected the leftovers? Because the Bible says there were 12 basketfuls left over, and everyone was amazed to see them full. Lots of high living and excited chatter. On the notes here it says, high five your neighbor and tell them there were lots of leftovers. Just look at them. If you, I don't know what to do. Give them a fist pump. Exciting times. Revival is here for sure. Things are rolling our way. The church is doing well. We're relatively happy. We've got daughter works everywhere. Things are going really good. Hallelujah. Life is good. Then all of a sudden it came in 7 short verses screeching to a halt in one afternoon. Things can change on a dime. Starting with verse 40 through verse 44. High times, verses 45 through 47. Looks like they're going to have a vacation. They sat down by ranks, by hundreds and fifties, and straightway he constrained his disciples, get in the cruise ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while they sent away his people. and they're trying to get this thing all figured out. I mean, it's been a miraculous day. He's broke the bread and the fish and fed everybody. He's been teaching anyone that would walk around. It's been glorious. Now they're all going to get on a boat and relax and have a wonderful time. But something happened. And on a dime, it changed. A reward for their hard work, Jesus tells them to get in the boat and relax. He says, I'll meet you later. I would have loved to have heard their conversation as they got in the boat, pushed off from shore. Everybody stretched out, lounging on a life jacket, trying to figure out where they're going to go and what they're going to do. And all their buddies talking about all the wow and awesomeness that was there. Don't forget the title of the message. Things can change on a dime. Because here comes, in verse 48, a storm drops out of nowhere right on top of them. And has it ever happened to you? He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. I just wonder if in your life, as you continue on the journey, has you ever all of a sudden felt like the heavens were opened and every drop of water that was ever up there is coming down on you? Every late collection bill notice is in your mailbox. Every person that was ever mad and wanted to holler at somebody was ringing your phone. Everything that wasn't supposed to happen was happening. Have you ever had a day like that where things just turned on a dime? I mean, I was doing good. I was planning on pancakes and sausage and a great morning, evening, reading the paper and just having a great time. But instead, I'm fighting for my life. Ever had a day like that? Yeah. Well, the disciples and you were doing what God had told you to do. And let me just tell you this. Just because you're doing what God told you to do doesn't make you immune from storms. Who's figured that out already? Well, I was doing what God told me to do. I was doing what I was called to do. I was doing what I was supposed to do. Surely that's not supposed to happen to me. Let me give you a little quick synopsis of my storm. March of 2019, right here on this platform. All of a sudden, from a Sunday service to the platform on Wednesday, our kids were frantically catching flights because the doctor told them if they wanted to see me before I died, they had to get here and get here rapidly. I will say that I was treated awesomely by the hospital here. Very grand and very nice, but you can only do so much. I remember kind of coming to out of that sepsis stuff that I was fighting with and heard a nurse say, sir, you were circling the drain. Circling the drain, you know what I mean? One more circle and you're gone. wow, that was one of my nights. Healthy, been preaching all these years, and all of a sudden it came crashing down, and on a dime, my life changed. From the point of health storm began for me last 2 years, surgeries, sepsis infection twice, kidney failure, multiple strokes. But God, I was doing what you called me to do. I was preaching a revival in a great church. Life was going good. How come a storm dropped down on top of me? There are many days and nights I didn't know if I would live or die. I didn't know if I would ever preach again. I didn't know if I would make it to Thanksgiving. Right now, my goal is to make it to Christmas. But here's what I've come to tell you. If you're in the middle of a storm, don't quit rowing. Oh, come on, don't quit rowing. He's going to come to you, and he's going to pass right by you. And all you got to do is ask him to get on board your boat. Don't quit when it looks bad. Don't quit when it looks hopeless. Don't quit when the doctor says you're not going to make it. I've come to tell you, you can make it. Oh, Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Wow, what an understatement. They didn't know if they were going to live or die. So I just want to tell you that wherever you are and whatever you're experiencing and whatever's going on in your life, you have got to continue to put your hand in the hand of the man that walked on the waters. Because there is no other hope in this world. There is no other way to go. There's no other way to get it done. I'm going to tell you right now, some of the greatest medical minds in the country have worked on me. I've been blessed to have absolutely the best. And, of course, when the brain surgeon started looking at my brain and said he didn't see anything. Woo, boy, I tell you. They said you've had a stroke. I said, well, that's good. So now they can't expect near as much out of me as they did before. I can't do that. I've had a stroke. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. We're all reeling right now. As a matter of fact, who is the president? I don't know anymore. And what country is this? I watched people looting buildings, killing each other, firebombing cities just because it looked like they weren't going to get their way. I don't understand where we live now. But I know one thing, if you'll put your hand in his hand, if you'll keep rowing even when it's storming, you can turn yourself around on a dime. God can take what was meant for evil and make it good. Oh, hallelujah. Our world has changed, but wherever you find yourself, just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Turn to someone and holler real loud. Keep rowing. Keep rowing.
Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Come on, keep rowing. Get your oars out. Come on, keep rowing. It's time. It's time for us not to throw in the towel. It's time for us to find a new strength and put our hand to the wheel and know that my God is still in control. We're rowing for all we've got. Some of us are financially rowing. Some of us are physically rowing. Some of us are mentally rowing. And most of us are emotionally rowing. Our world has changed. But keep paddling. It's do or die. We are at the changing of eras spiritually. We are all under attack, and I got news for you, my friends. There is nowhere else to go at this point in history but to him. You know, where would I go but to the Lord? The media sure don't have the answers. Our political leaders don't have a clue what's going on. The perfect storm has been dropped on us out of hell, and its name is COVID. Now, you can believe what you want to, but when something comes
that tries to destroy our churches and our family lives, it has to have come from hell. Lockdown turned our economy upside down. Who ever heard of not being able to buy toilet paper? Really? And we've been in Louisiana riding out hurricanes and evacuating because it's the worst hurricane season in history. Church is not allowed to have church. Can't get with your extended families for holidays. Got to cover my face to go to Walmart. This is not the world we knew. Things have changed on a dime. And I know from personal experience, just as Steve has told you, I had a health crisis where everything turned on a dime. Going about my little daily life, pastoring church in Arkansas with Steve. And one day time, I was in the hospital for 3 years. First 30 days, I coded 20 times. First 3 years was tubes, machines, and medications. I know a little bit about surviving a storm. I know a little bit about it. So come on, my friend, wherever you are, you got to keep rowing. You can't quit because the wind is violent and it looks like Jesus has walked off and left you. Get your oar out, it's row or die. The disciples were, as Scripture says, out on the sea without Jesus. And where is Jesus? Oh, he had wandered off. And the Scripture says he was alone. He was alone on land. They're in the water. He's in the land. What's wrong with this picture? We're in the middle of COVID. Where's God? On the land. He had gone to the mountain to pray. Storm came. This story, my friend, I guess I could have named it something else and named it panic. The waves are breaking over the boat. The disciples cannot believe that the Lord has left them. We're living in a time of panic. News feeds everywhere are telling us that panic attacks are on a dramatic increase. People like the disciples and me and Steve in our crisis and you and your family in your crisis. Panic. Where is God? When are you going to come through, God? I don't know. I had over 40 doctors tell me, you ain't going to make it, child. Your organs are all damaged. Your bones are fractured. You're in a wheelchair. There is no hope. But what I found out is even from a wheelchair, I could keep rowing. Just because your back is to the wall and it looks like you're about to drown and sink, you keep that oar in the water. You keep the Word of God close to you. You keep your faith high and you know that our God is still large and He is in charge. There is no kind of disease that's going to put Him on the run. There is no kind of lockdown that's going to lock Him out. It is time for Him to stand in our midst and show us His presence and glory. He always comes through in a crisis. Well, we can't have church. Can't have normal church. Can't have normal lives. I just want to quit. No. Look at your neighbor and shout, no. Look at the floor, and we're gonna act like that's where the devil's at. I don't know where he's at. Shout, no! I am going to keep coming to church when I'm able. I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to do things that I should not. But I am going to do the things that I know that I should. And if you're online watching,
watching, please, I'm not taking offense with you. I know there are people that need to be cautious. I know that. We have had to be cautious. But I do know that there is still a church and there is still a God. And there is nothing the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God. Look, I'm going to quit in just a minute, but look at verse 48 again. Can y'all put that back on the screen? What I like about that is after that first semicolon, for the wind was contrary unto them. That's King James Versionese. Louisiana says, I'm drowning. It is a hurricane. And about the fourth watch of the night. I have to pause there. You want to name that hurricane? I think everybody can name their own hurricane. Fear. Anxiety. It's all there. I love the last part. Let's go to this, to the colon, not the semicolon. And about the fourth watch of the night, what do those two next words say? Say them loud. He cometh. He is on his way. He already knows where you are. And he's already there. I think we're in the fourth watch of the night. But he cometh unto them, walking upon the COVID. Turbulence doesn't bother God. Storms don't deter him. Waves will never keep him away. And then it says, that last phrase, and would have passed by them. Nope. He ain't passing by me today. I'm here because I have a desperate need. I got up, I got dressed, I dragged myself, and I masked my face. But I'm here today for a very specific reason. And look at the next verse. Look at verse 49. When they saw him walking up on the sea, they didn't have a clue who he was. They supposed it had been a spirit. Now, Scripture says they cried out. I'm not sure they were calling him. Help! Peter, did you just see that? Oh, my word. What is it? And they're crying out. You know, sometimes he don't show up looking like you think he should. Sometimes it's just a feeling that comes over you, urging you, just put another foot in front of the other one. That's him. Maybe it's a voice of a friend on the phone or a text that just says, come on, you can do it. That's him. Maybe it's an elbow bump that just assures you somebody else is in this fight with you. That's him. And look at verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled. That's a whole other sermon. And I don't have time for it. But I love the second verse after that period. Second word. And immediately. They were full of fear. They were fighting for everything they had. They were rowing that boat. The waves were about to capsize them. They couldn't even find their life jackets because they didn't have time, so they were just grabbing on each other, doing whatever they could to hold on. And then they're scared to death because something unusual comes into their midst. But immediately, in the middle of that nightmare, in the middle of your mess, immediately, he talked with them. And he said unto them, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. They were still rowing. They were still in the middle of the storm. They were still fighting for their lives. They were still doing everything they had been doing. But somehow, in the middle of all that, he shows up and says, hey, church, be of good cheer. I'm still here. Don't be afraid. He's about to show up immediately. He's about to talk to you. He's about to take your fear away about tomorrow. Come on, I know turbulence is all around us, and we're rowing, we're rowing, we're dodging waves. The water's coming in my boat. My buddies are all crying about dying. But buckle your seatbelt and hang on. Help is on the way. Immediately in this service, he's going to show up. And you're going to feel something lift off of you. You're going to feel a weight that you've been dragging around. Every time you put that mask on and the fear and the dread to walk out your door comes over you, I'm praying today in the name of Jesus that we put it on and we wear it like a warrior's shield headed out into battle, because I know that my God is still with me. He is able exceedingly above all anything I can ask. He's going to take care of me. He did it for me when there was no hope for me to live. He did it for Steve when he was in ICU. And he's going to do it for you. We need to just reach out in faith and touch him as he passes by today. Today, things can change on a dime. Today, you can walk out of here with no more fear dragging you down. You can walk out of here with that COVID lockdown depression lifted off of you. God is still in control, my friend. It has not moved his leadership because we have had to change our lives. Now I want to read the rest of that chapter, just starting in verse 54. Because here, my friend, is where we are. This is where victory steps in to defeat. This is where healings begin to take place. Verse 54. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Next verse. I want to do the next verse. Can y'all? Yeah, there it is. And they ran through that whole region with their mask on their face. And they begin to carry about in beds those that were sick when they heard that he was there. Go to the next verse. And whithersoever he entered, and he's here today, in villages, in Madison,
in Wisconsin, in the United States, in Asia. They laid the sick in the streets, and they besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. It's time to touch him. It's all about to change on a dime and a touch today. We're trying everything else to survive. Let's try Jesus. Hold your dime up in representation of things changing. My friend, it's not over. It's never been this intense in America on so many fronts. I'm kind of thankful we're seeing the underbelly, because it's propelling us to pray. It's propelling us to exercise that verse to occupy until he comes. It's an awakening that's happening with all of us. The Lord has built you, and he has built me for this time in history. There's no need for hand-wringing among the saints of God. Remember destiny? We've talked about destiny. The Lord chooses the nation that you're living in, the time that you were born. So you are at the right age for the moment that we're in. Things are about to change on a dime. God has trusted us with trouble. He has trusted you with trouble. He knows you've got it in you. He knows that you can make it. It's just time for us to let that start welling up in us, and let's start believing things are about to change on a dime. I want you to take that dime home, tape it on your mirror, put it wherever you want to put it, where you can see it, and you know that your God does not require a whole lot to turn things around. All we got to do is reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. When the music will come, please. I know God put me here for a reason. And it's not to live in fear. You know, these masks have taken away our ability to show expression. I smile at everybody I walk by. I feel so hampered. So I started waving. They all think I'm crazy. I can't smile, can't speak. Because I'm going to tell you, mask has affected my hearing. I can't do what I normally did. But that doesn't mean he's not with me. It doesn't mean that he's not going to bring me through this storm. Even though our expressions have been masked by this COVID thing that we're all living through, my worship has not been hindered. And as long as I can stay connected to that source, he can hear me through a mask. He can read my expressions through something everybody else can't. And he knows that I am depending fully on him. And he knows that I've got to have him to make it. I've asked them to sing a song today that I absolutely love, because its title is Not Afraid. He is with us today. And I felt so strongly a few weeks ago that he would usher his presence into this building today. And he would lift fear and doubt and unbelief out of this place, and would release us that even though we may not be living in our normal realm, we can live in a deeper realm than we ever have. I really think that's a lot of what's happening. We can't depend on things we used to. So my dependency has come from him.
He's before me. He's behind me. He's always beside me. There's no shadow. There's no turning. He's with me. So here's what I want us to do. I know we can't all come to the front, and I know we can't all lay hands on each other, and that's okay. He passed them by, and he healed them. So he's here today. If you would all stand, I want them to sing part of this song. If you want to come to the front and you feel comfortable, keep your social distancing, you are welcome to. If not, maybe you just want to step out in the aisle just as a symbol that, God, I know things are going to change on a dime. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to walk in fear or doubt. I'm going to put today all my trust in you and know that today is the day for you to fix things. When I walk through the water, no, I won't. Who's going to make the way? Who is going to make a way? And I am not afraid. I don't know about you, but we're walking through water right now. We're rowing for everything we've got. Our boats look like they're going to capsize. But God, He's going to make a way. I want you to say those words to Him. When I am in the fire, come on, even if you can't sing, say these words. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. I will be overcome. I will not. Come on, let Him refresh you today. In the name of Jesus, I cast out every ounce of fear in this building today. I come against hell today. I come against any doubt. I come against the fear. I come against the things that are plaguing your children. And I ask you to release today in this place a mighty flow of your Spirit to just wash us. Just wash us. When I walk through the river, I will not.
Thank you so very, very much, Sister Terry, Brother Steve. It's just so good to see them together. I've never been one to add much when someone's finished preaching. I feel that God's called them to say what they've said, and when they're done, God's done. But I just want one little thing, if you can allow me just for a minute. That's verse 52. Really hit me. Really hit me hard. And I don't know, you're probably aware what it says. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I just want to give a precaution this morning. You can come to church. You can see miracles. You can experience miracles. You can be involved in miracles. Yet, in just a short time, their faith was challenged. And their heart was hardened. Be careful. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. The enemy wants to take all of these things that you're dealing with right now in your life. It's above and beyond just COVID. And he wants to use it to harden your heart. This is what the enemy tells you. See, God doesn't care. He's off doing his own thing. He doesn't care about what's going on here in this boat in your life. He doesn't care what's happening in your family. He's ignoring you. All of these different crazy things. and you begin to believe it. And fear sets in. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I love it. It's so good to see you today, all of you. It's just... I can't wait till the day that we're able to take all of our silly masks and hang them up on the walls somewhere. I don't know. This is our collection. Burn them. I still think that the best mask I've seen so far to date was Brother Michael Tesh, who made a mask out of some boxer shorts. I think that's just awesome. I'm waiting for him to wear them to church. But we haven't got that far yet, so that's a hint there, Brother Michael. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I love you all. Thank you so much, Brother Sister Spears, this morning for such a powerful, awesome word. We'll be back on Wednesday. They will be here through Wednesday. And God bless you all. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome day. And thanks again, once again. It's just good to be back. It feels just... You can just keep singing if you want to. And keep fellowshipping. Fist bump, elbow bump, whatever you got to do. Love you all. God bless you.